Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. President Carter is back in Washington this morning after yesterday's appearances in New York City, climaxed by a town meeting last night. CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports that the give and take was vigorous.
It was a noisy, challenging crowd, and the president seemed to enjoy every minute of it, starting right out by suggesting if they did not ask timid questions, he would not give timid answers, and both sides obliged. For example, challenged to say what he'll do about that Soviet combat brigade in Cuba, Mr. Carter repeatedly said the brigade is not a military threat to the United States, but nevertheless, he'll take appropriate action. However, he would not say what is appropriate. Finally, the president promised to report to the nation, probably next week, on the American response. But politics was clearly uppermost on the president's mind, as evidenced by this gratuitous taunt of Senator Kennedy when asked about his own national health care plan.
Senator Kennedy has been in Congress now for 16 years. His major premise, his major goal, has been to establish a comprehensive national health insurance policy for our country. He's a chairman of the Health Committee in the Senate. He has never gotten a comprehensive national health bill out of a subcommittee.
President Carter also said he welcomed a preliminary skirmish with a Massachusetts senator in what he called a straw vote next month in Florida. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, New York.
Now the latest on Senator Kennedy, reported from Washington by Phil Jones.
If Senator Kennedy really means it when he says his presidential nomination decision will be based on the state of the economy and President Carter's handling of inflation, then Kennedy should have announced his candidacy last night. He had nothing good to say about the economy.
We can find a better way to deal with the critical problem of inflation and rising prices. We do not have to jeopardize the very existence of the fundamental social and economic advances of the past two decades. We do not have to throw hundreds of thousands of men and women out of work by putting the economy through the ringer of a new and potential serious recession.
In response to President Carter's ridiculing of Kennedy's inability to get a health plan out of committee after 16 years, the senator said that he had tried to work with Mr. Carter, but that the president had been slow in getting his health insurance plan developed. All these charges and countercharges, and here Kennedy says he hasn't even decided yet whether to run. Phil Jones, CBS News, Washington.
President Carter last night approved public works legislation that includes funds for completion of the Tellico Dam in Tennessee. This apparently ends the five-year-old struggle over the snail darter, the tiny fish now threatened with extinction because it spawns only in the area to be flooded. The president said he signed the bill with mixed reactions. This is the final day of the Reverend Jesse Jackson's controversial visit to Israel. The head of Operation PUSH, People United to Save Humanity, is meeting with Arab leaders from the occupied West Bank region. But Dan Raviv reports from Tel Aviv that all is not well in the Jackson camp.
There's been a falling out between Jackson and two prominent Jews from Los Angeles who have been traveling with him. Raymond Mallel says he's quitting the delegation because the Reverend Jackson has no interest whatever in the Middle East situation, in Mallel's words, and is only exploiting it to advance his own political career. Philip Blazer, who publishes a pro-Israel magazine in California, says he feels uncomfortable with Jackson for the first time. Blazer says the civil rights leader is clearly looking for opinions opposed to those of the Israeli government. The two Los Angeles Jews point out that Jackson has canceled meetings with former Israeli diplomats and others who would no doubt have condemned the Palestine Liberation Organization in the strongest terms. Israeli officials say privately that in their view, Jackson is visiting Israel only as a cover to make himself appear even-handed before visiting the PLO's Yasser Arafat in Beirut this weekend. And that, the officials explain, is why Prime Minister Begin refused to meet with Jackson. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Begin's attitude has been warmly endorsed by Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan. Jerry Lande reports that Dayan did it last night in New York City at a meeting with heads of major American Jewish organizations.
Dayan was outspoken in his criticism of the intervention of black American leaders in the touchy Palestinian issue. Dayan defended Prime Minister Begin's refusal to meet with the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
He would have given him the credentials to mediate between him and Yasser Arafat. which Mr. Begin doesn't want to do it. He absolutely doesn't want, directly or indirectly, to negotiate with Yasser Arafat.
Diane said neither Jackson nor anybody else would ever convince Israel to negotiate with the Palestine Liberation Organization, whose charter calls for the destruction of the Jewish state and which still claims responsibility for bombing attacks against Israeli civilians. Diane charged the efforts of the Jackson mission and that of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which preceded it, were complicating the delicate negotiating process. Diane went out of his way to praise the Carter administration for the proposal which would commit an American presence to the policing of the Sinai Accords with Egypt. If you know a better presence, Diane declared, just name it. Jerry Landay, CBS News, New York.
Well into its third month, the grain handlers' strike in the upper Midwest is finally over. New contracts with eight companies were ratified yesterday by the rank and file. And now the farmers who suffered severe economic losses as a result of that walkout are worried about the continuing strike against the Rock Island Railroad. Congressman Tom Hagedorn of Minnesota is calling for a Taft-Hartley injunction. Last week, instead of taking that course, President Carter issued a back-to-work order, which the strikers ignored. And Hagedorn says Mr. Carter's action was based on politics.
The president is just timid. He's scared to death of losing some of organized labor support. And quite frankly, it's a political situation where he's just written off the agricultural rural America vote for that of organized labor. And I sense that he's taken the gamble that when election time comes around and contributions forthcoming, that he wants their support more than he wants farmers and the people from small communities throughout rural America.
Hagedorn says taxpayers will suffer if the Rock Island strikers win their dispute over retroactive pay. A lot of people are going to suffer if a prediction made today in Washington turns out to be correct. We'll hear about it from Nelson Benton.
A consumer coalition plans to tell the Department of Energy today that average family heating costs in cold climates will be up at least $540 above last year's costs. And the Campaign for Lower Energy Prices, as the group calls itself, is pressing to have price controls reimposed. It is one of several interest groups to be heard at an Energy Department hearing on the price and supply of heating oil for the coming winter. A consumer group has released a study which contends that heating oil prices are as much as 19 cents a gallon above what they would have been had price controls been retained. 10 major oil refiners are also scheduled to testify at the Energy Department's heating oil hearing. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
82-year-old Mamie Eisenhower is in Walter Reed Army Medical Center today undergoing treatment for a stroke. A spokesman says the former First Lady's condition remains stable. Rose Kennedy, 89-year-old mother of the senator, was operated on this morning at New England Baptist Hospital in Boston for an intestinal hernia. When Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko addressed the UN General Assembly yesterday, he took a hard line on the issue of Soviet combat troops in Cuba. Gromyko called the issue artificial and urged the U.S. to drop the matter. Last night, as we heard from Robert Pierpont a few moments ago, President Carter took an equally hard line. But Gordon Joselov reports that the line in Moscow may ultimately be somewhat softer.
The Communist Party newspaper Pravda printed the full text of Gromyko's speech, but made no additional comment. There is speculation among some Western diplomats here that despite the hard-line tone of the foreign minister's remarks, Moscow may now be leaving itself an out to a quiet resolution of the Soviet combat troops in Cuba affair. The reasoning is that by continuing to deny the troops' presence in Cuba, the Kremlin can alter the nature of the combat brigade without appearing to be bending to U.S. pressure. This is essentially what happened during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. There is no doubt that Moscow recognizes the Senate ratification of SALT II is now in jeopardy. The belief among experienced Western observers here is that the Kremlin is so anxious to see passage of the treaty that it may take steps to placate the Carter administration while all along denying that it is doing so. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Moscow.
The U.S. dollar rose a fraction today in Tokyo, and it's mixed in Western Europe. The price of gold dropped more than $3 an ounce in London and Zurich. It's now selling at around $373 an ounce.